You're very welcome back to the latest episode of the Greg Hughes podcast. Today we have a conversation that is difficult. It's vital and deeply personal. I'm joined by Bernadette, who's here to share the story of her twin sister, Clarice Rice. On December 27th, 2019, Clarice was killed in a high-speed collision in Port Salon. She was only 26 years old, a mother to then three-year-old Saoirse, and a learner driver who believed, like many young people do, she was invincible. Bernadette is here to set the record straight against the rumours that followed the crash, to talk about the reality of losing a twin, and to explain why she is now a fierce advocate for road safety and stricter licensing. This is a story about the devastating physical and emotional aftermath of speeding, the ripple effect of grief on a family, and a sister's mission to make sure no other family receives that early morning phone call. Bernadette, we're speaking today about the loss of your sister, Clarice, in a road traffic collision. That was back in 2019. I presume it still feels like yesterday, does it? Or
Yes. It's still very, very raw. It was very tragic now. And yeah, still dwelling on a daily basis, yeah.
She was your twin sister. What was life like as... We was always running around together, or
we were inseparable. Yeah, you wouldn't see one without the other.
All right, and did he look alike, or?
Oh God, yeah, we did. We looked. We weren't identical, but we were very much alike. Yeah, very hard to tell us apart.
And obviously, we're going to talk about the loss of Clarice, and I know you're using this as an opportunity to try and get a message out there, but it's nice to, for us to sort of have an opportunity to remember her. How do you remember her?
Oh, yeah, she was just bubbly, and yeah, she was just carefree, and such a lovely girl, yeah. So, yeah.
She was a mum?
She was a mum, yeah. We Saoirse, she was only three when her mum passed away. Yeah.
Which is so an awful, awful situation.
Oh, very tragic.
Take us back to December 27th, 2019, as much as you're comfortable talking about it. I mean, this is obviously in between Christmas and the new year. It's the time of joy and happiness, especially for younger people. Was she out that night, or what was the story?
I had been out the boxing night, and she took me home, and the next day, the 27th, she just come to see me. Like, she brought me like hangover food, and yeah, we just had a laugh, and my daughter and her daughter were playing with their Santa presents, and a mutual friend of ours, he come to my house, and it was decided then that himself and Clarice was going to head out to a few pubs and stuff. So she left my house. It was about 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening with Saoirse to take her down to our home place in Port Salon. And she did. Now she did. She managed to go to my mum's, and she left Saoirse there, and then she headed off with the mutual friend. And I went to my bed, and then I think it was roughly about 1:10 in the morning I got the phone call that she died in a car crash. And
oh my God.
I just, yeah.
Who made that call to you? Was that your mum?
It was an aunt, actually. Right. My mum was at the scene. My mum just had a bad feeling. The accident happened roughly between 10 and 11 o'clock at night. Mum just, she had got word about a car accident, and she just took a really bad feeling. So she drove up there, and she just stood until it was confirmed then that it was Clarice.
What an awful experience for your mother.
Oh, horrible, yeah.
And it was towards the, I mean, they weren't out very late, right? So they went out at 7:30 or so, and the crash happened sometime between 10 and 11 p.m. What do we know about the crash?
Unfortunately, she left a pub in Kerrykeel along with the mutual friend, and unfortunately, Clarice was speeding, and she veered off the road and struck a tree just about a mile away from home. So yeah.
And I think, judging by some previous conversations that you've had with Caroline and all, she passed away at the scene.
She did. She died. Fortunately, but unfortunately, she died instantly from her injuries.
And yeah. There was one other passenger in the car, or two?
There was just one other passenger, and miraculously he did survive, and he'd minor injuries, but yeah.
And I mean, there's lots of contributing factors. You talked of Clarice speeding, but there was some, unfortunately, there's a rush to get information out there now. There was some unfortunate reporting, to put it very mildly, at the time, that she was under the influence of either drink or drugs, and we know that not to be the case.
Yes, yeah.
When did that come out? Was that at the time of an inquest or trial? Or
no, it was just within days of the accident happening. There was a headline put out that she was under the influence. So. And then we didn't really know ourselves either, because, you know, you have to wait on like toxicology reports and things like that. So we were, it's horrible, but we were relieved to find out, to know that.
And just to get an insight, and maybe even to those who may write these type of things, is the upset, looking back, that headline ever appeared at all, or even in this horrible situation of trying to deal with your sister's death, did you feel the pain of it when it was published?
I did, because people, especially like here in Donegal, and people can be just very narrow-minded, and you see in that headline, you know, people just jump to the conclusion as well. You know, not a wonder she crashed, because there was that factor of drugs and alcohol. You know, people can just be very narrow-minded, and
We're always, I think, as we share stories or experience, we're always looking for that bit of information, that reason, that excuse. So something like that carries like wildfire, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, you always want to pinpoint something to blame, and
drink or drugs not a factor. You've recognised that speed was, but also too, that's a bad stretch of road as well, isn't it?
You see, it is a bad stretch of road, but just the stupidity, I'm sorry, the stupidity of my sister coming down that road speeding when she should have knew better, and unfortunately that's why the tragic event happened.
And how soon did you find out that speed would have been a factor? Was it some sort of witness accounts, or did it come out as part of the investigation?
It was part of the investigation, sorry. Okay.
So you were awoken at 1:30 with the worst nightmare of all, that there's been a road traffic collision. Were you told at that point that your sister was dead, or did you find that out en route to the scene or to the home house, or...?
It was just in the initial phone call that I was told that she had died, and I jumped into my car, and I live in Remelton, so I headed towards Portsallan, and en route I first of all met the ambulance, so I thought, you know, there's definitely been a mix-up, but then I met the hearse and coming behind, so I just knew in my heart, as soon as I had seen the hearse, I knew that she was in it.
And you know, that really jumped out at me, because things happen so quickly, don't they? You know, from saying goodbye, heading for a night out, hours later in a hearse, and a couple of days later at a funeral. And a lot of it's avoidable. It's hard to get the head around, isn't it, Bernadette?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was all just... At the few days like between her wake and her funeral, it was all just like a blur, really. Still, even to me, it's still a blur. She was buried on New Year's Day. It's like that. Into New Year's Day now. Every year will be that.
That's it. And again, you know, hopefully this reaches the ears of those that maybe don't understand the consequences of, you know, speeding or driving under the influence or whatever the case or causation of a collision might be. But forever, New Year's Eve, is not Auld Lang Syne and all that type of stuff. It's going into the next day, the anniversary of which you buried, on which you buried your sister. It's
yes, correct, yeah.
Yeah, and it runs and runs and runs. Was there any much support for you as a family? I suppose, obviously, I imagine from the community and family and friends, but in terms of information, do you get a lot of information from the Gardaí or whomever?
I have to say, the guards, everyone that dealt in my sister's accident, and even afterwards, and even now, they were amazing. They were so good. I really do have to take my hats off to them. I wasn't left in limbo for anything. If I had a query of anything at all, I could have rang the Garda station and not a bother. Yeah, not a bother.
Just back to the night of the tragedy as well, just to emphasise the reality of what loved ones have to go through. There is a formal identification process that has to be gone through too, isn't there?
Yes. So when I got to my mum's, the sergeant come and he asked like who would want to go to identify her, and like I wanted to go, but my mum and my brother agreed just in case, because we didn't even know what her injuries were. So my mum and my brother were scared for me to go in case it traumatized me. So they went, and like my brother said, it was like a movie scene. She was just laying on a metal slab with a white sheet right up to her neck. Like it's left a mark in his head. Yeah.
And I suppose when you reflect on things, as horrific as that is, her injuries were from the neck down. So in terms of wakes and even that identification process, as terrible and unimaginable as it possibly could be, at least the coffin was open and that identification wasn't as traumatic as potentially it could have been.
I prayed to her when I knew that officially when she was gone, I prayed. I said, please, if anything in this world, please let me that your face is fine, that I can see you. That's all that I wanted. And thankfully we were able to have an open coffin. She had no marks on her face whatsoever. But the rest of her body was absolutely destroyed. Evidently what resulted in her own doing.
And we talk about, because we do a lot of road safety on the radio, and you talk about many factors, okay? So speeding, the non-wearing of seatbelt, distracted driving, drinking, drug driving, and it's as if all of those have to be present. What I'm hearing is that, she had her seatbelt on, wasn't intoxicated, it was the speed. The speed is what killed her.
Yes, some people may not be happy with even putting her to blame because she was speeding, but evidently nothing could have saved her because she was traveling that fast. So she did the right things. She wasn't intoxicated. She wasn't wearing her seatbelt. Nothing could have saved her. Nothing.
It's very busy after someone has passed away, isn't it? The house is busy, the phone calls are busy, everyone's checking in on you. It's strange, and we'll talk to the fact, obviously, there's children involved here as well. It's interesting, from my own experiences, and maybe it wasn't the same for you, but people end up having to get on with their own lives as well, and there comes this point where you're like, well, where's everyone? You know they're there, don't get me wrong, but there's another reality hit a little bit further down the line.
Yeah, for us now, the house never stopped. Cleese was a very popular girl. She was loved by so many people, and the house never stopped. And then after she was buried and we come back home, and life was just so weird. I had to find myself again, basically. I lost part of myself whenever she died. And even then with her daughter, that was, losing my sister wasn't even as traumatic as what we had to go through with poor Saoirse. Mm. Losing her mum, that was it'll never leave me what we had to do. It was terrible. That poor child. You can't explain to a 3-year old that her mummy's never going to come back.
And no, you can't. And you have to balance, don't you, keeping Clarice in her memory as a mum.
Yeah.
But with the fact that she's not there.
Yeah.
And trying to explain that, it gets easier as they get older. But it's a very difficult tightrope to walk, isn't it?
Oh, it was, yes. It was so hard. Like the night after night, my husband, myself, my eldest daughter, we all cried night after night after night. Yeah, it was just, it was so, so hard.
What were your emotions towards your sister? Because I'm trying to tease out the awful grief element of this as well, because whilst your loss was through a road traffic collision, we all have loss in different ways. And sometimes you think, you know, if you lost your mother and she smokes, you can almost blame her for that. Do you know that sort of a way?
Yeah.
Like, was it just pure grief and loss in the days and weeks and months following Clarice's death, or were you angry? Were you frustrated?
I was very angry, very, and I still am to this day. Like, if I even talk about Clarice, the first thing that comes to my head that I am so angry. Why the hell did you leave me? You know, we always, so me and my sister, we'd always said we'd grow old together. That was it. We'd buy a house and that's decide each other that was going to be us forevermore. And we would always be with each other till our dying day.
Yeah.
And then she left me. So yeah, so I do have a lot of anger.
But it's grounded in love. It's completely grounded in love. Yeah.
Unconditional love. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She let you down in the deal, kind of a way, in an interesting kind of way. But again, too, and this is why, you know, it's great for you to share this story and maybe help others not to make a fleeting decision, because this incident comes from a moment. It doesn't come from a lifetime or a personality, or it comes from a decision in a moment, doesn't it? And just that wrong decision, so fleeting, it doesn't even define your sister, of course, who she is. No. It was just in this moment, in this time.
Yeah. You see, my sister, this is why I do like the road safety shows and things, because I feel that my sister's situation will bounce off for them. She was 26, but my sister had only just a year's driving experience. She only had her learner's permit, didn't even have a full license. She was like a 17-year-old just getting into a car. She had no sense. She thought that just because she could drive the car, that she was invincible, that she had full control of the car. She had no awareness. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, it proved the night that she did crash. Yeah.
Again, to go back, I mean, I was always very conscious of mortality, to be honest with you, and it was actually a cross I had to bear myself as a young person. I always looked around me and everyone was so happy and I was worrying about who's going to die next, right? That was just my human condition at that time. But those road safety shows and other initiatives to try and reach the young people, it's a difficult one, because you're kind of robbing them a little bit of innocence, but you have to, because the message is so important. We aren't guaranteed old age. We aren't invincible. We're not bulletproof. We're not supermen and Wonder Women.
Yes, yeah. And I know that it does, but I think, like, I attended one myself when I was at school, and this is what I do with the show. I tell the audience, you know, I myself sat where you are with my sister, and here I am now on stage.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's the reality, and I know it can be such a fear factor, but sometimes a fear factor is a reminder you'll never forget. So,
it was a tough time for everyone, obviously, as the tragedy unfolded. Your dad was living away at the time too, and often these things, as terrible as they are, you know, that it can be an extra layer of grief and shock and trauma, learning the news when you're away and having to return.
Yeah, my poor dad, he lives in Luton in England, and he got the phone call I don't even know. I'm not sure if he got it before or after me, but he had to book flights, and yeah, he still fully doesn't accept it. And like we're 6 years on, he still does not fully accept it.
Well, Saoirse, I presume, is a work in progress. She's still only a tot, really, to all intents and purposes. She's with you now and your family.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, yeah. I'd straight away, nobody's having her, only me. Mm-hmm. My sister would have done the same, absolutely. So, yeah, she's 9 now, and we talk about her mum every single day. Her memory will always live on. Yeah, and she's doing much better. She's still, but yeah, she's always going to miss her mum. She's fully aware, I've explained, in a childlike way, as best as I can. So,
and kids are resilient, aren't they? And as tough as it is, hopefully she's got amazing guidance from you as well too, because you're just so connected between her being part of your sister and your sister being part of you. It's there's an unbreakable connection there, of course, as well. The inquest was, there wasn't a huge delay. The inquest took place the next year, isn't that right? September, yes. 2020, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And was it a relatively straightforward process that they determined that speed was the contributing factor? Or?
Yeah, it did, yeah. The car was approximately 100 miles an hour whenever it struck a tree, so that's definitely what the factor was, yeah.
And so in this case, often for families who are bereaved and it does require an inquest, it can be very frustrating because there's lots of unanswered questions and then maybe, there's lots of questions and then maybe unanswered questions once the inquest is over. I suppose one saving grace in this situation, it was really just something you had to go through to confirm what you already knew then, is it?
Yeah, thankfully, the inquest was very straightforward. We got our answers. We just wanted to know, was it speed, was what the toxicology report was, and more the most important thing for us all was to make sure that she did not suffer. And yeah, we got those answers, we got all our answers. So yeah,
was that the first time that she was vindicated from those headlines, if that makes sense? You know what I mean? Once the toxicology reports, or had you access to them beforehand, Bernadette? You know, we talked of the headlines a little earlier on that suggested she was under the influence. Was that the first time it was formally clarified that that was not true?
Yes, I think, to my knowledge, I think it was at the inquest that it was definitely confirmed, yes.
All right. And was that made clear in subsequent reports? I hope it was it? Often it's a life travels quicker than the truth, doesn't it?
It does, yes. And that's why I know the speeding isn't much better, but yeah, it's just, to us, I think it was more peace of mind to know that, you know, that she couldn't have been that stupid to speed along with drink and other things. You know, you really couldn't be that stupid. You know, I had talked to Clarice on team times about speeding or about drinking or anything. Like, don't ever do these things. And thankfully, like, she had never drank or anything like that driving. I was.
But you know, like, I've seen again people in my life. There's no point trying to pretend it's elsewhere. And you talk about speed, and you hope this sounds like an awfully bad thing to say, but there's a near miss, because that all of a sudden changes the attitude. Unfortunately, it wasn't a near miss for Clarice, if you know what I mean. But
yeah,
sometimes that's what it takes for people to get the message about speeding, because again, you feel you're in control, you feel you're safe, you feel you're completely indestructible. So what's your motivation for all the work that you do in trying to get the message, out there, trying to get behaviours changed? Is it because you've this experience and it feels it's something you can do? Is it for Clarice, or is it for the family, or what motivates you to put yourself through this turmoil every time you have to talk about this?
I think probably a selfish way, but I think it's more so, yeah, I've been through that experience, and if I could prevent even just one household having to experience this, I think I would be happy. Yeah.
And I'm sure you have. This is the thing about being as brave as you are. You don't necessarily see the result of all your efforts, but you can be so sure that with the honesty and frankness that you've spoke out about, that you have saved other families from going through what you've gone through. There's just no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I really do hope so, yeah.
Do you think there's anything we need to do in terms of the laws? One of the most passionate and frustrated groups of individuals I speak to about road traffic and road safety, sorry, is Gardaí. The roads police, the sergeants that have to call to the houses, the phone calls, you know, like they can't be everywhere at once, right? But they do really get frustrated that the message isn't getting through. We're seeing more speeding in the Northwest. We're seeing more drink and drug driving.
Yeah.
What else could we do, do you think? Or do you?
I have no idea. I think you can do 1,000 things. It's up to that individual. There may be laws upon laws, but it's up to that individual that chooses to break that law. And I don't know. I don't know what could be done to change it.
I would love to see personally, because I think education is critical. I'd love the road safety stuff to be normalised in schools, like from a really young age.
Yes, absolutely. I think that would be a fantastic thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And there have been some measures taken in this country and in Northern Ireland, our near neighbours as well. I suppose anything that's introduced that, you know, that helps with the whole education message, the better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not angry with your sister anymore, are you? Or are you, or what? I know you say that, right? And you're blooming angry because she's not with you now. But I'm kind of curious, what's she looking down thinking when she hears you giving out again? What do you think she's thinking up there?
I think she's probably having a good laugh at me. I've always said when I meet her in heaven, she'll get a slap and then a cuddle.
You might get 2 slaps, yeah, and then a cuddle, maybe.
I probably will, yeah. She would be quite feisty, so.
The other person in the car, they suffered non-life-threatening injuries at the time, but I can only imagine what they've been going through. That person has remained part of the friends group, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He's still a very good friend. Yeah. He has to live with this. He has to. Yeah. So it's quite tough on him.
You seem to have an amazing heart, Bernadette, of sort of forgiveness, of understanding, of compassion, of sort of, you're incredibly unselfish. I don't even know if that's a word. Is that just in your personality, or has this come from that awful night in 2019?
I'm not sure. I think it's a bit of both, really. Listen, the lad did not set out. He did not set out, listen, we'll go to the pub and smash my car later on. Like, that wasn't the intentions at all. He's been such a good friend. He's been a childhood friend. You know, he's grieving just as much as what we are.
And survivor's guilt, I'm sure, is there as well. Why her? Why not me? You know, it's he's completely blameless, you know, but that happens. So, you know, I suppose this is for mums and dads who sometimes, you know, turn a blind eye or what have you. What is the message? Slow down, you know, maybe wait until you have a certain level of experience before you drive more powerful cars. Is that the message that you want to get out, whatever you want to say, just as we wrap it up, Bernadette?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there should be like maybe a law introduced for high powered cars. Absolutely. I do think so.
All right, really, okay. Listen, thanks so much for chatting to us. It's we kind of got a wee insight into your sister as well too, which is lovely because it keeps her memory alive. And your strength is amazing, but the work that you do is amazing. And we thank you so much for chatting to us. And hopefully another person or persons are reached listening to this podcast, Bernadette, and this tragedy is not visited. We'd love to take it away from all families, wouldn't we? But most of these deaths, 99% of them are avoidable. Hopefully this conversation has just reached the right ears for whenever people were listening to it.
Great. Thank you very much.
Bernadette, thank you. And I want to thank Bernadette one more time for sharing her story, and hopefully it really does have the impact she intends it to have. That's where we leave it for this episode. Don't forget, we release a new podcast every Friday, and we have occasional bonus podcasts released during the week. A big thank you again to Caroline Orr, who researches and produces the podcast. And if you have any comments, questions or suggestions, feel free to email us, CarolineOrr@HighlandRadio.com. That's CarolineOrr@HighlandRadio.com. Don't forget, you can tune in to The Greg Hughes Show live on Highland Radio weekdays between 9 and 11. I'll catch you about soon.